worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. End of Psalm 1. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the blessings that are ours. When we're wise and diligent enough to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one every day as we simply read and meditate on your word. Father, more so with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us today to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Help us to grow tremendously in our understanding of how valuable it is, how fruitful, how much of a blessing it is for us to spend time with you in your word absolutely every single day. And help us also to be very, very diligent in helping our children to read out loud to us daily so that they too can be blessed tremendously by the blessing that comes from simply being a diligent student of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you would spend your Holy Spirit of peace, that we would be present with you in these moments, Father, and that you'd comfort us, that you'd draw us near to you. And Father, I ask that we'd spend more time delving into Scripture to spend time with you, that we'd spend time in ministry to spend time with you, that we'd spend time in prayer talk to you, to tell you about our day and to ask you to guide us. Thank you so much, Father, for being so present with us, and thank you for all that you're doing today. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. You know, here on the Hour of Intercession, on a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you, if you don't already have the habit, we're encouraging you to start the habit of reading no less than 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. I don't have the ability to overemphasize how important it is to spend time with your Heavenly Father in the Word of God every day. You're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy. But the fact is, in the setting of our priorities, you know, we can always get to what's first. And if we're wise enough to make time in the Word of God the, if not the first, one of the first things we do every morning, it more than that, this is a habit that more than pays for itself. When you're reading the Word of God, you're pouring grace, peace, light, joy, and power in your heart, your mind, and your life. Money cannot buy that blessing. So I hope that you are making that a priority. And parents, on a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you to have the habit of having each of your children to read the Word of God daily as well. Why is that so important? Remember this world where sadly too many children are pouring so much toxic darkness into their hearts, their minds, through their cell phones, through the internet, through all sorts of dark video games. Remember, God's Word is pure light. There's nothing better for our children than God's Word. So literally, the most valuable time your child may spend today is the time he or she spends reading God's Word out loud to you. I want to take time now to share an article that addresses this particular issue. The article, and once again, if you'd like to email us to get a copy, simply email me, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The article is entitled, Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4:13. Then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God out loud to them on a daily basis. It's simply not been a priority for many parents. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a great thing. But sadly, having their children to read the Word of God out loud to them every day, along with church attendance, has just not been that important to too many parents. Allow me to make a case for why it would be very wise to change this reality. Consider this important question and the answers to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking time to read God's Word every single day? That child is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read the Word of God. That child is spending time listening to the wisdom, the grace, the power, and the insight of the Creator of the universe. See John 1:1, John 6:63, and Romans 12:1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing? That young person is receiving the most powerful, life-changing, and uplifting insight in all of the universe. The transforming power of the Word of God is working on the mind and heart of this young person. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many very fruitful ways. See Romans 12:1 and 2, Proverbs 1:2. This youth is spending time in the presence of Christ and God. When any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same on the other side of that time. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and place of reading Scripture in the life of any believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. They discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most of the days of the week, that is, they read their Bible 3 days or less, their lives are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important than so many really grasp. So parents, if you begin the family habit of having your child read the Word of God out loud to you daily, great things can begin to happen in your child's heart. Why is this important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure that that child has spent time reading the Word of God on any given day. Sometimes a parent may tell a child, go read your Bible. Maybe the child will, maybe that child may not. Our children are human beings, and as much as we like to think our children will do exactly what we tell them, that's not always been true for many a child. When you make time each day to have them read the Word of God out loud to you, you can know this for a fact. You can know that they have spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Children and youth today are filling their minds with something. Sadly, too often, many of these children are filling their minds with darkness, toxic information, and wicked worldly thinking and perspectives. Too many youths have filled their minds with pornography, online garbage, demonic insights from dark movies and TV shows, horror movies, etc. And too many youths spend their hours playing dark video games and doing things online that are very negative spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. The blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for our children spiritually, mentally, or emotionally than the Word of God. We are told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God heals all the ills of life. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us. The transforming power of God's Word is undeniable. It is powerful, and it's very mighty in every way for good. Beginning the habit of having your child read God's Word out loud to you daily is a very fruitful habit. It's a great way to help focus the power of God's Word onto and into the lives of our children. Today is a great day to start this family discipleship goal with your children. It will help to produce eternal fruit in each of their lives. Again, the title of that article, Children Who Read the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for every parent listening. Thank you for every grandparent listening. Thank you for every person listening who desires to impact the life of a child or children in and through their lives. And thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to encourage them in this way. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us as parents and as grandparents and as those who work with or interact with young people. Anoint us with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be diligent in helping and having children to read God's Word regularly to us. Even when the child doesn't understand what's going on, as they read your word, Lord, you're touching their lives for good. You're pouring grace, peace, joy, strength, light, and encouragement into their hearts, their lives. They need that so, so much. Help us to be diligent again as parents, grandparents, and those that work with young people to make this one of the priorities you've called us to do, called us to be and to do as parents and those that work with young people. And help us to know, Lord, that your word is the source of all joy, all light, all power, all grace, all good. Help us to be wise enough to fill up on this each and every day. And help us, Lord, as individual believers, to be very diligent ourselves in getting into your word every day. Help us to be wise enough to know that a habit like reading 3 chapters a day will tremendously bless us as well as our children. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we'll be reading through the Word of God today. We'll be right back.
Through the night.
The music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. After this, David defeated and subdued the Philistines by conquering Gath and its surrounding towns. David also conquered the land of Moab, and the Moabites who were spared became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. David also destroyed the forces of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, when Hadadezer marched out to strengthen his control along the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He crippled all the chariot horses except enough for 100 chariots. When Arameans from Damascus arrived to help King Hadadezer, King David killed 22,000 of them. Then he placed several army garrisons in Damascus, the Aramean capital, and the Arameans became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. So the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. David brought the gold shields of Hadadezer's officers to Jerusalem, along with a large sum of bronze from Hadadezer's towns of Tiba and Kun. Later, Solomon melted the bronze and molded it into the great bronze basin called the Sea, the pillars, and the various bronze articles used at the temple. When King Toi of Hamath heard that David had destroyed the entire army of King Hadadezer of Zobah, he sent his son Joram to congratulate David for his successful campaign. Hadadezer and Toi had been enemies and were often at war. Joram presented David with many gifts of gold, silver, and bronze. King David dedicated all these gifts to the Lord, along with the silver and gold he had taken from the other nations, from Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, and Amalek. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, destroyed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He placed army garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. In fact, the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel and did what was just and right for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was commander of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were the priests. Sariah was the court secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was captain of the king's bodyguard. And David's sons served as the king's chief assistants. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. Sometime after this, King Nahash of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun became king. David said, "I'm going to show loyalty to Hanun because his father, Nahash, was always loyal to me." So David sent messengers to express sympathy to Hanun about his father's death. But when David's ambassadors arrived in the land of Ammon, the Ammonite commanders said to Hanun, "Do you really think these men are coming here to honor your father?" "No. David has sent them to spy out the land so they can come in and conquer it." So Hanun seized David's ambassadors and shaved them, cut off their robes at the buttocks, and sent them back to David in shame. When David heard what had happened to the men, he sent messengers to tell them, "Stay at Jericho until your beards grow out, and then come back." For they felt deep shame because of their appearance. When the people of Ammon realized how seriously they had angered David, Hanun and the Ammonites sent 75,000 pounds of silver, to hire chariots and charioteers from Aram-Naharaim, Aram-Maacah, and Zobah. They also hired 32,000 chariots and secured the support of the king of Maacah and his army. These forces camped at Medeba, where they were joined by the Ammonite troops that Hanun had recruited from his own towns. When David heard about this, he sent Joab and all his warriors to fight them. The Ammonite troops came out and drew up in their battle lines at the entrance of the city, while the other kings positioned themselves to fight in the open fields. When Joab saw that he would have to fight on both the front and the rear, he chose some of Israel's elite troops and placed them under his personal command to fight the Arameans in the fields. He left the rest of the army under the command of his brother Abishai, who was to attack the Ammonites. "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then come over and help me," Joab told his brother. "And if the Ammonites are too strong for you, I will help you. Be courageous. Let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. May the Lord's will be done." When Joab and his troops attacked, the Arameans began to run away. And when the Ammonites saw that the Arameans And when the Ammonites saw the Arameans running, they also ran from Abishai and retreated into the city. Then Joab returned to Jerusalem. The Arameans now realized that they were no match for Israel. So they sent messengers and summoned additional Aramean troops from the other side of the Euphrates River. These troops were under the command of Shobak, the commander of Hadadezer's forces. When David heard what was happening, he mobilized all Israel, crossed the Jordan River, and positioned his troops in battle formation. Then David engaged the Arameans in battle, and they fought against him, but again the Arameans fled from the Israelites. This time David's forces killed 7,000 charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers, including Shobak, the commander of their army. When Hadadezer's allies saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they surrendered to David and became his subjects. After that, the Arameans were no longer willing to help the Ammonites. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, Joab led the Israelite army in successful attacks against the land of the Ammonites. In the process, he laid siege to the city of Raba, attacking and destroying it. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Then David went to Raba and removed the crown from the king's head, and it was placed on his own head. The crown was made of gold and set with gems, and he found that it weighed 75 pounds. David took a vast amount of plunder from the city. He also made slaves of the people of Raba and forced them to labor with saws, iron picks, and iron axes. That is how David dealt with the people of all the Ammonite towns. Then David and all the army returned to Jerusalem. After this, war broke out with the Philistines at Gezer. As they fought, Sibbekai from Husha killed Saph, a descendant of the giants, and so the Philistines were subdued. During another battle with the Philistines, Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath of Gath. The handle of Lami's spear was as thick as a weaver's beam. In another battle with the Philistines at Gath, they encountered a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all, who was also a descendant of the giants. But when he defied and taunted Israel, he was killed by Jonathan, the son of David's brother, Shimeah. These Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath, but David and his warriors killed them. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, "Take a census of all the people of Israel, from Beersheba in the south to Dan in the north, and bring me a report so I may know how many there are." But Joab replied, "May the Lord increase the number of his people 100 times over. But why, my lord the king, do you want to do this? Are they not all your servants? Why must you cause Israel to sin?" But the king insisted that they take the census. So Joab traveled throughout all Israel to count the people. Then he returned to Jerusalem and reported the number of people to David. There were 1,100,000 warriors in all Israel who could handle a sword, and 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include the tribes of Levi and Benjamin in the census because he was so distressed at what the king had made him do. God was very displeased with the census, and he punished Israel for it. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt from doing this foolish thing." The Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer. This was the message: "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you three choices. Choose one of these punishments, and I will inflict it on you." So Gad came to David and said, "These are the choices the Lord has given you. You may choose 3 years of famine, 3 months of destruction by the sword of your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague, as the angel of the Lord brings devastation throughout the land of Israel. Decide what answer I should give the Lord who sent me." "I'm in a desperate situation," David replied to God, "but let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. Do not let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 people died as a result. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But just as the angel was preparing to destroy it, the Lord relented and said to the death angel, "Stop. That is enough." At that moment, the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Arunah, the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with his sword drawn, reaching out over Jerusalem. So David and the leaders of Israel put on burlap to show their deep distress and fell face down on the ground. And David said to God, "I am the one who called for the census. I'm the one who has sinned and done wrong. But these people are as innocent as sheep. What have they done? O Lord my God, let your anger fall against me and my family, but do not destroy your people." Then the angel of the Lord told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arona, the Jebusite. So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him through God. Arona, who was busy threshing wheat at that time, turned and saw the angel there. His 4 sons who were with him ran away and hid. When Arona saw David approaching, he left his threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. David said to Arana, "Let me buy this threshing floor from you at its full price." verses 1 through 22, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Father, thank you again for the chance to read your Word daily. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be more and more the diligent students you've called us to be in your Word each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, but never beyond your reach. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
The music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes I Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading now, reading through the Word of God and picking up in the New Testament, the book of James, James chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. We who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our God and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out what is both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. James chapter 4. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit has placed within us should be faithful to Him. And He gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. James chapter 5. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rain in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. End of the book of James. Thank you, Lord, again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to spend time with you one-on-one every single day. Father, thank you, Lord, for the truth that you'll spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you in your word. Help us to make it the high priority in our lives that you would have us to. Thank you for the gift of your word and the privilege of being able to meet with you in your word every single day. And thank you for the fact, Lord, that you will take as much time with us as we'll spend with you and help us to understand what a gift, what a blessing that really is. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never asked Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you know that you're not saved, but you desire to be saved, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ, pray that prayer. We're wanting to be in communication with you. We'd like to be in touch again. And keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do. Please definitely get in touch with us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. The title of the article that we shared earlier is entitled, Children Who Read the Word of God. If you'd like to get a copy of that article as well or any others we've shared in the past, simply let us know by title which article you're wanting to receive. Again, this one is entitled, Children Who Read the Word of God. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks again for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.